Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Last week I talked about the foundation of God, and I talked about Jesus being the strong ground that everything is built on. This morning I want to move on from that. I want to talk about the Rio. Now, as I left church last Sunday morning, a lady came up to me and she said, "You kept on saying Rio. What's Rio?" And so for everybody that doesn't know what Rio is the steel that goes in the concrete that makes up and forms part of the foundation. So everyone got that? It's not Rio over in Brazil. It's Rio that you put in concrete. It's an ingredient. Sorry, Pastor Rocky, didn't mean to spit on you. That's why you sit at the front, you know. You just get this shower all the time. It's part of the foundations that we add to. And so we're going to add the Rio now to our strong foundation, even Jesus. And so the first bit of Rio that I want to talk about is obedience. Now, I'm certain that as soon as I say the word obedience, there's a negative connotation that comes into many people's minds. Now, when I was doing this sermon, I could have tracked down and looked at the blessings and curses of Deuteronomy 28, 29, 30, because that's a great way to talk about obedience, by highlighting what happens when you disobey. I could have gone to Saul and talked about better to obey than sacrifice and the outworking of what happened to Saul when he disobeyed. But I really felt this morning that God wanted me to very much focus on the positive aspect of obedience by reinforcing when we do something like obedience, God wants to bless us. He wants to pour out His love. He wants to manifest His grace upon us. And we don't have to concentrate on the negative. When we concentrate on the positive, it makes us want to do it again and again and again. Now, I'm certain those of you who've got children and have read Dobson's books and gone through all the parent training know that the best way to get a child to do something is to encourage them, is to bribe them with a lolly, is to thank them for doing a good job. Now, one of my sons is not here today, so I can talk about him. He has an eye different to mine. And as he was a young lad, his room was a little messy. Just a little messy. And so I'm not going to say his name. Pete, go and clean your room. And Pete would come back a few minutes later, very, very chuffed because he'd cleaned his room. And so I would walk back up and have a look into his room, and blow me down, the pair of socks that I'd been tripping over all day were still on the floor. But he'd moved something on his desk and he'd cleaned his room. Now, I learnt later that that's because he didn't see the socks. And people are like that. Some people just don't see what others see. However, as I read the books on child raising and how to make perfect children, rather than belting them, oh, you're not allowed to say that anymore, are you? Rather than reinforcing what you're supposed to do, you encourage them. So, Pete, that's a great job. Your desk is looking fantastic now. Now, what about the sock that's on the ground? Oh, I didn't see that. But because you've encouraged them, they want to do it better and better and better. And obedience is like that, I think. When we do it, when we obey God, when we obey anybody, and we get praise for it, we get a reward for it, we want to do it again and again and again. And that's what I want you to see today about obedience. Obedience is something that is easy to do if our heart and our attitude are right. And because we obey, God wants to pour out His blessing. Let's look at these scriptures, Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, be careful to do all His commands that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God." In Joshua 1:8 it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. In short, when you obey, you have success and you prosper. That's a pretty good reward. That's a pretty fantastic thing. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. But I, Jesus, have come that you might have life and have it to the full. God loves us. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to have life to the full. For this to happen, we've got to add to our strong foundation, Jesus, just a few things. We've got to listen diligently to his voice. We've got to observe and do all his commandments. We've got to walk in his ways. We're not to deviate from his word. And we're not to go after other gods. Choosing to obey God not only shows our love for him, but it also shows humility. It also shows that we are saying to God, God, we are not ours anymore. We're yours. We know you love us and we give our lives to you. We give it to you willingly, obediently. I grew up in the era where a lot of preaching was hellfire and brimstone. A lot of preaching was about if you don't do this, you'll go to hell. If you don't do this, this will come upon you. And it worked. But on the same token, speaking about God's love, speaking about God's grace, speaking about God's mercy also works. And as we talk about obedience, obedience is not a punishment. It's not a hardship. In fact, believe it or not, obedience is simple. I learnt that at the end of a cricket bat on my bottom. My father had just finished building these incredibly big double doors, wooden double doors, on a garage that he had built that was very tall to fit the caravan that he had built in. My dad kept building things. And these doors would have cost a lot of money because the wood in them would have been expensive. My dad wasn't a rich man. And these doors were magnificent. The hinges were great. Everything was just awesome about it. Jill, you would love my garage doors. You would have loved them. Anyhow, Dad, we didn't have a car. Dad rode his push bike around the corner from work one night to see two eyes peering through two holes in these wooden doors. I'd got Dad's brace and bit, and I drilled two perfect holes at the perfect height so that I could see when my dad was coming around the corner. Unfortunately, on these beautiful garage doors that my dad had built that he loved so much, two holes stood out like, well, I can't say what they stood out like, but they did stand out. And he could see my eyeballs looking at him. Now, my dad was never an angry man. I never, ever, ever saw my dad angry. If Dad got angry, he went quiet, he walked away, and you knew you were in trouble. My dad rode his push bike in, put in the garage, not a word. Uh-oh. And then I heard this, Graham, I want to talk to you. I walked up into our back porch. Dad had built a porch on the back of our house and had a little alleyway. And at the end of the porch, we used to keep the wickets and the cricket bat. He had the cricket bat in his hand. And he reinforced in me that drilling holes in his door was not a good thing. It hurt. But I didn't learn. Dad filled the holes up. The next week, my twin brother and I drilled four holes. A little lower. You know, the paddle didn't work. But Dad's praise and his love for us and his care of us slowly made us realise that we wanted to do things that made him happy, not made him sad. When we obey because it's our heart attitude, because we want to, then it's an easy thing. The only time that obedience becomes a hardship is when we have a bad attitude or a wrong attitude, an attitude that is not right to the authorities above us. Now, those authorities could be parents, they could be teachers, they could be the police, they could be the government, they could be anybody. But when we have a wrong attitude, that's when we start to disobey. And most of the times, those wrong attitudes are because self is on the throne. And we live in a world today where we're taught to disrespect authority. Right through from school, you're taught to argue, to debate. They say it's good to debate, good to argue. But unfortunately, what it's doing is it's starting to break down authority. And you can see it everywhere. There's lawlessness taking place, part of the end times, the Bible tells us. So to not obey, to disobey those that have authority over us is ultimately rebellion. And when you look at what that means, it means that you are serving Satan, because rebellion, the Bible says, is a sin of witchcraft. And so, in short, if we want to serve God, if we want to love God, if we want to show God how much we love him, how much we honor him, how much we respect him, then we're going to obey. The only difference between obedience and disobedience is that they reflect the lifestyle or the heart attitude. And Mike talked about the heart of man today in communion. They talk about the way that we're living. And so if you're sitting in this room today and you can already start to feel a little bit of a prickle and you can start to recognize that you haven't been obeying or you are disobeying in some area, then it is reflecting a little bit of your heart attitude, a little bit of your lifestyle. And ultimately, that reflects on the way that you respect God and the way that you love God. If we have sincerely committed our lives to God, we're going to trust him. We're going to obey him no matter what, or what we think the outworking is. And oftentimes it's the stick. It's the outworking that we're thinking of. Proverbs 3, 5-8 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." Being obedient doesn't mean that we'll never face difficulties. Doesn't mean that there won't be hard decisions. There'll be things that we need to work out. It means that when we do, we are acknowledging that God has gone before us. When we obey, when we make decisions that might have a consequence that we fear in the negative, yet by obeying, we know that we're putting the authorities right, putting respect right. We're trusting God that he has got it all under control. The prophet Isaiah reassured us when he said this, "And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desires in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." Both these passages that we've just read speak about physical health, speak about well-being, all a fruit of obedience. Again, God wants to bless us. God wants to prosper us. He wants us to have life to the full. And to do that, we need to obey him. We need to honor him. We need to respect him. Obedience has to be a choice, like everything we do. "I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, da 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 da, that you and your children may live." There are many facets surrounding obedience, but there is only one way to do it. And that is by choosing to surrender to the one who loves us and the one that has a plan for our lives. I wonder whether any of you have really ever considered the minor decisions that you make, not the major ones, the minor decisions you make. Those decisions we make, as minor as they are like stepping stones for all the other decisions that we make. Make a wrong decision, and all of a sudden, it goes pear-shaped for the rest of the decisions. Make a right decision, and it leads you to the next decision, and the next decision, and the next decision. All of them bringing through life, bringing forth blessing, bringing forth prosperousness. Often, we make choices based on what we feel, what we think. We use our natural mind. You know, we make big decisions, buying a house, changing jobs, buying a car, going on holiday. And oftentimes with those big decisions, we will allow God to get involved in them. But the small decisions, we think, well, that's crazy to involve God in those things. You know, what would he care? But he does. He wants us to be conscious of him all the time. Conscious of him to the point that we are acknowledging and recognizing that God is involved in every part of our life. I hadn't thought about it in this light until I was putting this sermon together, but in my early years in my Christian walk, I would do an audit of my life at the start of the year, and I would spend just a week or so praying and sometimes fasting if I was really, 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 really seeking God. God has to speak to me nearly with an audible voice to get me to fast. And at this time, I can honestly remember, I can remember where I was, what we were doing. Chris and I were on holidays, we were traveling, and Chris had stopped to feed one of the children, and I was walking along a railway track, I think it was near Trawool or out that way, and I heard God nearly audibly say, "I want you this year to learn to live by peace." And so I said, "Well, what does that mean, God?" And when I say I said, I hear God, not audibly, but in pressure thoughts. And I know that I know that I know when God is talking to me. And I just knew that this was God. And basically it was, before you make any decision about anything, you have to ask me, and I'll tell you what to do. And so I did that. And I mean it, I did it. We were running a factory at the time, our clothing factory, and it was as much as buying buttons as it was buying cloth or buying cotton to whether I should go this way or that way. And I can give you story after story of that year of how many times my natural mind wanted to do something and God told me different. He told me different by peace. "I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And, you know, it was, I thought, all about learning about peace. Doing this sermon, I realized it wasn't about peace. And I've actually preached on peace using this story. It was all about learning to be obedient and allowing the peace of God to be one of those litmus paper things that God uses. I'll give you a little story about that because it's a really rich story. It's about Pastor Hal. Pastor Hal was working, it was down in Maroondah Highway, he was in his office, and I would spend some time with him, and Pastor Hal's eyes used to water from having a fan that blew, a heater fan that blew. And so one day I thought, I'll buy him a heater, I'll buy him an oil heater, one of those, I can't remember the name, it escapes me, but I've got your problem, man, sorry. No, not a Dimplex. That's it. It's better than Dimplex. Anyhow, there was only one shop in Healesville that you could buy these oil heaters, these stand-up oil heaters, those radiant-type heaters. And so I went to the hardware store on the corner there. I walked in and there's the heater. Exactly what I wanted to do. And If you know me and shopping, it's in, out, as quick as you possibly can. Don't waste time. Shopping is purgatory. You don't want to go there. You just want to go in and get out. And as I stood there and just about ready to pay for this heater, I thought, oh, didn't ask God. God, is this the heater you want me to buy for Pastor Hal? No. Excuse me, God, this is the only shop in Healesville that has heaters. No. God, you obviously have made a mistake. I don't want to go down the line. I don't want to go to Lilydale. I want to buy it here. No. So, being an obedient man, I walked out the shop without the heater. As I walked out the shop without the heater, I walked past, now this shows how old it is, I walked past the SEC shop. Anyone remember what SEC stands for? All the old people, State Electricity Commission, okay? And there was an old State Electricity Commission shop there, and fair dinkum, in the window, covered in dust, was the exact heater that I'd been looking at in the hardware. And it was half price because they wanted to get rid of it. And I said to God, is this the one you want me to buy? And he said, yes. And I bought it for half price. Now, you could say, is God interested in that stuff? I think he is. But what he was more interested in was my heart and the obedience and learning how to hear his voice. God wants to teach us obedience. And obedience is a step-by-step, line-upon-line thing. Let me read to you about Peter and how one step of obedience had such an incredible outworking. Luke 5, 1-9. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked to be put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for the catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners to the other boats to come and help. And they came and they filled both the boats so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." O Lord, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. Now, we've read that story before, we've talked about it before, we've talked about many, many aspects of it before. But I want to talk to you today about Peter's life-changing decision. A decision that basically determined the outcome of his future. Just one choice, one obedient choice. Jesus had been preaching along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. The crowd was so large that he had no place to stand. So he asked Peter if he could use his boat to be a platform to speak from. It was an odd request. But when Jesus asked Peter to allow him to use the boat as a stage, Peter agreed. That, believe it or not, was Peter's first step of obedience. As I said, obedience is a process, a stepping stone, all leading to a destination. Story goes on, and I want you to look at what happened next. Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to be put out a little way from the boat. And when he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat, when he had finished speaking, he said to Peter, "Put out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all day and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." What would have happened if Peter had said, "Jesus, you might be a good preacher, but I'm a fisherman. In fact, I run a huge fishing fleet. I'm the CEO of this fishing co-op. And I've been out all night fishing without a catch. And so if it's okay with you, when you've done preaching, can I just get back to the shore, finish cleaning my nets so I can get home and have a sleep? Because I've got to get up and fish tonight again. Or maybe Peter was worried about what others thought. What was he going to do? This preacher guy had told him, the fisherman, to go fishing. And all of his friends, with all of their boats, were sitting on the shore. And they were watching Peter to see if Peter was going to be stupid enough to do what this preacher guy told him to do, when they knew that there was no fish out there. Peter didn't do what he worried people might think he would do, or didn't do what might have outworked. He just said, "Master, I will do as you say, and I'll let down the nets." Peter released the anchor, raised the sails, turned his rudder towards the deep water. What motivated Peter to do that? The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Something in Jesus challenged Peter to do as Jesus asked. In doing that, Peter responded in obedience to Jesus. And that obedience, we know, brought forth a miracle. See, obedience today prepares us for another step of obedience tomorrow. And obedience tomorrow prepares us for another step of obedience the next day, and the next day, and the next day. You can't short-circuit obedience. If you don't obey, then you stay until you repent, ask forgiveness, and then start obeying again. And oftentimes there is an outworking that has a consequence. You see, for Peter, the fish were not there the night before. They were there the next day, which they shouldn't have been. At night, the fish come to the surface when it's cool. And when you lay out the net, you catch the fish. In the heat of the day, the fish go to the bottom where it's cool. And when you put out the net, you don't catch any fish. They should have been down in the deep. And even Jesus said, go out into the deep. So the fish would have been even further down normally. But not this time. This time, those fish were right where God wanted them to be. God knew. Jesus knew. Just as much as God knew that that heater was in the SEC window. I didn't know. My natural mind didn't know. But God knew. See, there's no coincidences with God. Nothing just happens. God always has a plan. And that plan always reflects his ways. If you want to walk in step with God, then you have to learn to be obedient. If Jesus asks you to do something, you can know without doubt that blessing is going to follow. Abraham left home at God's instruction. Moses went back to Egypt without knowing what his role as deliverer was going to look like. Esther approached the king in obedience, not knowing whether she was going to lose her life or not. Rahab hid the spies who came to view the promised land, knowing that she could have been killed for it. Mary heard the angel's voice and said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Not worrying about the consequences, but knowing that because God was involved, there was going to be forth a blessing. And Peter, "I will do as you say, nevertheless, at thy word." I don't think as Christians we have an option. God requires obedience. And as I said, obedience is not something we're born with. Obedience is like mathematics or spelling. It's something that we have to learn. It's a process. It's a process of, like me, learning to inquire of God every day about every decision. Do I still do that? Subconsciously, yes. Because I now know what peace is like and what peace is not like. It's seeking God. It's allowing the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given us to lead us and guide us. It's asking ourselves, what does the Bible say? And being prepared to stand on the truth rather than the lies of this world. It's obeying that small, still voice. Allowing that peace to guide us, which God's word says. And by the way, if you've got confusion, then you ain't got peace. And if you've got confusion, you ain't got peace, then your mind is not on God. That's the truth. Just follow the stream of scripture and you'll see that that's right. If you want peace, then put your mind on God and obey God. Nothing is insignificant to God. Peter's journey into obedience began with one simple action. Jesus, you can use my boat to be a platform. Peter could have asked Jesus to leave, but he didn't. And from that day on, his life was changed. You might not be standing on a shoreline cleaning a bunch of nets, but I believe for all of us, and I am very conscious that God is moving in our midst, that God is doing things in people's lives at the moment. I believe for everyone, not me, not Chris, not Pastor Hal, not Jill, every one of us, God is saying, move your boat into the deep, let down your nets, for I have a catch for you. So as I close, obedience is not optional. Obedience brings forth blessing. And obedience is tied to knowing and to loving God. And we practice obedience by learning to inquire of God through prayer, by learning how to discern when God is talking, by developing love for God's word, by realizing that to obey God will often mean a head-on collision with human reasoning and this world system. By being prepared to allow God to lead us in the dark, sometimes so that we learn to trust Him in the dark times. We learn obedience by expecting that there will be some inner struggles, because obedience is contrary to the world system that we live in. We learn obedience and we practice obedience by learning that there's no substitute for it. And finally, we practice obedience by trusting that all the consequences and all the outworkings of our life, God already knows, and He does want to prosper us and He does want to bless us. Let's pray. Andy, can we close in song? Father, I just pray that you would overshadow us right now. While your eyes are bowed, while your heads are closed, I just want you to consider what's being said right now. I'm not going to ask you to come down the front, but I am going to ask you to stand in your seat, stand where you're sitting right now. I want you to stand if you know that you've been struggling. Now, I'm going to use the word rebellion. It sounds tough, but that's what disobedience is. If you know that you haven't been obedient and there's things in your life that you are disobeying, it could be authorities, it could be your boss, it could be authority structures, your parents, your teachers, it could be anything like that, but also that you're disobeying God, that God has asked you to do something, that He's challenged you on some area of your life and you're struggling with it right now. I just want you to stand. I just want to pray for you. So if you are in that case, just stand quickly, real quick. Don't hold back. All of us struggle.
Just stand right now if you know that you're dealing with things and God is dealing with you right now in your life. God wants to bring forth blessing. God wants to challenge you. He wants to change you. He wants to impact your life. Just quickly stand. Let me pray for you. No one looking around. Father, you see those that are standing. Lord God, I pray that you would overshadow them. I thank you for their courage in responding to your word. But Lord, I pray right now that you would clearly show them, just as much as you've clearly shown them to make them stand, that you would clearly show them, Lord God, that area that is a roadblock in their life. And that, Father, they would take a step back, repent, ask forgiveness, and allow you to either show them the right way or give them the strength to walk the way that you've told them to do. Father, I know that you want to pour out your blessing. I know that you want to prosper people. I know you want to bring health into their lives in every way, shape, or form. So I pray that you would overshadow each person right now. And Lord, as we continue to discuss foundations, I pray that we would add to that strong ground the Rio of obedience to our lives. And that we would start to invite you into every decision we make. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.